Geography. Free space for geography. Extending teaching and learning methods beyond the boundaries of campus.
Did you hear about Frontline?
Well, Frontline is camping
with Frontline.
Frontline, by the way, has outstanding productions.
Geography Frontline.
Hey everybody, welcome Frontliners from potentially all over the world. This is Geography Frontline episode 110. We do have some new things to talk about today and some follow-ups as well. As we try to build a tight network for everyone who is interested in geography, your feedback helps us all to get interconnected. Like the email I received from Georg, he writes, "Hi Thorsten, I think this is an American network for geographers," and he puts a link to his email. www.aag.org. Yeah, for sure, I know this one. And this should be a network for European geographers, he adds. www.eurogeography.eu. Best wishes from the old continent. Yeah, thanks for the links, Georg. Frontliners, be sure to check out the websites to connect yourself even more with geographers around the globe. But for now, it's great that you have tuned into Geography Frontline. And today, in episode 110, we talk about shared space. Who has the right of way? I don't care. People have to find their own way, negotiate for themselves, use their own brains. Well, Frontliners, I stumbled over this quote the other day and was thinking to myself, this sounds interesting. Using our brains, it's nice. Yeah, who said that? That was Hans Mondermann, a Dutch traffic engineer that developed the concept of shared space. Well, now shared space, if that doesn't sound geographical, right? Well, have you already heard about the concept? Well, let's see what it's all about. I'm citing from a website here. It's a revolutionary change in traffic thinking. Sidewalks have been eliminated on a newly reconstructed stretch of Exhibition Road in downtown London. Here we go for an example. The busy thoroughfare has been changed from the traditional sidewalk and road arrangement to a continuous smooth surface that is shared by pedestrians, bikers and drivers. And this is from an article titled "A New Idea for Sharing Urban Roads. Sidewalks removed on busy London street forces drivers to slow." I get you the links into the show notes and you can check out the whole article if you want to. So it seems that the city of London is doing something really innovative, right? I'm going on reading. There are no crosswalks, lane markings, sidewalks, curbs, signs or railings. What you see is what you get. A road, a long road with large black and white granite crosshatching. It's a perfect place for a pedestrianized route because three huge museums and a university front onto it, and there are 11.5 million visitors a year to the area. Wow. And after reading this, I searched the web about this concept of shared space. And here's what I found. First about Hans Mondermann. He was a Dutch traffic designer, as I said, from 1945 he lived till 2008. And he turned urban transportation planning upside down with the idea of shared space. Although it strikes people as shocking, Mondermann's concept is disarmingly simple. Remove traffic lights, signs, crosswalks, lane markers and even curbs so that pedestrians, motorists and cyclists are allowed to negotiate their way through streets by gesturing and reacting to one another. Wow! There you have it. And this is a phenomenon not only happening in London, but all over Europe. The concept has developed further in Denmark, it says on the website. Northern Holland, Sweden and Northern Spain, then elsewhere in Europe. Although the French program Ville Plus Sûre adopts many of the key principles and is evident in countless towns and villages across France. Its adoption in the UK is very recent and there are to date very few examples on the ground of projects that consciously define themselves as shared space. And this website article is from 2007 or 8, I think. So that it's very recent is not so true for 2011 for this show of Frontline, but it's a pretty new concept. You can see by the dates where Mondemann lived and died 2008, that it's a little dated, but yeah, in terms of urban planning, it's pretty new. So, yeah, I was just citing this from a PDF file called What is Shared Space? And I will put that in the show notes too for you to have a closer look at it. And by the way, there are examples for shared spaces in Africa today and in the US too. Just Google it. Yeah.
Something's wrong with the balance between the traffic function and the other social civic functions of spaces. And as we add more clutter, lights, controls, demarcation, the quality of public life and the public space is clearly declining.
Yeah, this is from a YouTube video I found on shared space. And as you can hear, there seems to be another function to a street than just transportation. Have you ever thought about that? That it's not only transportation, but also a social aspect. And in another documentation on shared space, I read this very positive evaluation on the concept that goes in kind of the direction of the social aspect. It's titled The Physical Heart of Society. In the shared space approach, public spaces form the heart of society. They are areas where you stay, where you meet others, where you observe, where you undertake something with or without others, where you relax, where you become familiar and part of the living environment. Public spaces also enable you to look at what people are saying about themselves in the way in which they present themselves or in the way in which they design and modify their own spaces, their house or their garden. So, if I understand it right, there are two functions to a street, not only transport, but also the social aspect.
Streets have always had to serve a number of functions, but two in particular. The first is the movement of people and vehicles, the transport function, and the second is the social interaction, the exchange functions, people understanding who their neighbors are, what's around them, ability to trade, to exchange information and goods.
Yeah, and perhaps we have lost sight of this social aspect of streets. Or what do you think? Or maybe only I have. I'm not so sure about that. Feel free to drop me an email to comment@geography.com or talk to the voicemail on Skype. Skype name is Geography. So, frontliners, what do you think about shared space, this concept in general? Is it really a great concept, or can you think of downsides too? What about the missing navigation tools, like street signs for the drivers? Is that such a positive thing? I mean, if you care about what is going on around you, that is one thing, but reaching your destination and going from A to B is another thing, right? Or perhaps I'm wrong, I don't know. Perhaps we should do a quick vote on that. Okay, shared space. So, let me know what you think in about today's quick vote. Titled, Shared Space, a Successful Concept? Well, answer E would be, best solution ever. Answer B, a nice add-on. Answer C, not very effective. Answer D, stupid idea. Or A to D doesn't do it for you and you decide to go for another answer, you decide to click on E, another option. Go to this episode's website on geography.com and click on the answer you like best. And as always, if you have another opinion, please leave a comment in the related section to let us know what your opinion is.
What's that sound?
Well, this section of the show tries to sensitize ourselves to the acoustic environment. As we live in a predominantly visual world, we often don't spend the time to recognize the sounds that surround us. But there are sounds that surround us. And this sound riddle, this What's That Sound section in the show, may help to get a better understanding of what can be heard in an urban environment. And for that, we're always listening to different kinds of urban sounds and try to get an idea of what this might be. For last episode's sound, it was it sounded like this. So if you listen to this the first time and have missed episode 109, you still get the chance to comment on it. Because, once again, no one had the heart to send in her or his guess. So don't worry if you're wrong. It's part of the game, so to say. Yeah. Here it comes again. Listen closely. And if you have any idea what this might be, send me an email or talk to the voicemail. So, yeah, let's listen to a little piece of music here. As you know, I always try to find a song that matches the topic of the show, right? And this one is from the Banana Sessions, that's the name of the band, from the Yellow EP, and fits pretty good to the shared space concept. A topic, by the way, that really deserves some feedback, yeah, don't you think? So while listening to this song, think about what you can contribute to the show. We really need the feedback. This is the Banana Sessions with the song A Little Share.
An old man lives down the street, cooks for himself, no one to share his feast, and I know he's not happy with the situation, but he won't complain. And next door there lives a lady, she can't cook, but she can talk all night. And if they could break the ice with a smile, or even with a knock upon the door, cook for me and I'll wash with you, or keep me talking when the times are blue. Da ba da ba do ba 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 bum, da ba da ba do ba ba bum, da ba da ba do ba 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 bum, da ba da ba do ba ba bum. Two beautiful people, and number 9 and 10. Never met, but work a floor apart, take two cars, and then they sigh all night about the cost of living. It don't seem right, the traffic that slows them home at night, because of 1, 2, 3, 4 SUVs in sight, and no dog, and no children, and no heavy load or even mud to justify. Drive for me and I'll drive with you. Talking when the times are blue. Da ba da ba do ba 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 bum. Da ba da ba do ba ba bum. Da ba da ba do ba 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 bum. Da ba da ba do ba ba bum.
Banana Sessions with the song A Little Share from the Yellow EP. From the Podsafe Music Network, you find that on music.mevio.com. Links to the EP in both the German and the iTunes store are in the show notes. And it's time again for a quick look at the activities on our Facebook page. So here are the latest news from Frontline on Facebook. Well, Stefan commented on the release of last week's episode. This was the one about underground economy and informal markets, do you remember? And he said, I'm looking forward to listen to the episode as the informal economy was part of my thesis. Wow! Hey, Stefan, I'm sure that you could really give us some more detailed information about informal markets, right? So please share your thoughts and knowledge with us. And put a little piece on informal markets together. This would be really great. Why not cite from your thesis? And in case it was published, provide us with a title or maybe even the link. This sounds perfect. And before I forget it, by the way, we did a quick vote in episode 109 about that topic, right? The question was embracing informal markets. Mm-hmm. And here's what the frontliners have voted for. 33% think that we should fight informal markets.
Damn those bastards that don't pay taxes.
That's a statement. But double the votes, 67% to be exact, go to answer number B. Sounds like a good idea. Well, this is great. Don't give the money to the government. Take it for yourselves. And be happy to find something, yeah, some work. Anyway, that is more or less the exact opposite opinion, yeah? So you see, Frontliners, there's some potential about this topic, and we should really investigate that further. Okay, what else do we have on Frontline on Facebook? Let me just skim through the page. Yeah, Philip posted a link to zerogeography.net to an article on mapping Wikipedia's augmentations of our planet. Yeah, thanks, Philip. Yeah, right, I remember. This is an article about the geotagged pieces or articles or texts that can be found on Wikipedia. There are some awesome maps that show the most described regions in the world, and the English version of Wikipedia is by far the largest collection of articles. But there are maps on other versions too. Egyptian Wikipedia, for example, French Wikipedia, whatsoever. So take a look at it. This is really fun. Last episode, I announced our new posters and a flyer for Geography Frontline. In case you missed that, I just wanted to come back to this topic and let you know what this is all about. To promote the show, I designed two posters that should tell potential listeners, new listeners, about Frontline. You can find a link to the posters on today's episode's webpage. Or just go to geography.com/promo to find both the posters and the flyer. And the flyer can either be printed out or simply uploaded to a photo print service. And because it's designed to fit on a 4.6-inch card that is 10 to 15 centimeters. And many print services offer free first-time prints. And I put links to some of them into last episode's show notes, and I'll just attach them to this episode again. I'm sure that they will work, still work. And so please check them out and help to make Frontline well-known by handing the flyers out or just put up one or two posters. This would be a tremendous help, really. It would be so great. So then let me know when and where you did that so that we can get an overview of the places we've already covered. Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks for the help. Yeah, it's time again to listen to the words of Alexander von Humboldt on his voyage in 1799 to the Americas. A travelogue perfect to get inspired to go out and do some research yourself. Yeah, so he just landed on the Canary Islands, and what happens next? Okay, let's hear. So he's just landed on Lanzarote. On the arrival of the Spaniards, its inhabitants, so he's referring to Lanzarote, were distinguished from the other Canarians by marks of greater civilization. Their houses were built with freestone, while the Guanches of Tenerife dwelt in caverns. At Lanzarote, a very singular custom prevailed at that time, of which we find no example except among the people of Tibet. A woman had several husbands, who alternately enjoyed the prerogatives due to the head of the family. A husband was considered as such only during a lunar revolution. Sounds great. And whilst his rights were exercised by others, he remained classed among the household domestics. So he goes on with a description about Lanzarote. In the 15th century, the island of Lanzarote contained two small distinct states divided by a wall. A kind of monument which outlives national enmities and which we find in Scotland, in China and Peru. Oh yeah, here, and what Humboldt is doing here, that he is comparing what he sees to what he already knows. That's interesting. And often a good way to approach new discoveries. And he's often doing it. If you listen to the last episodes, he's always coming up with these examples and thinking of things he already knows and comparing it to each other. And but there's a question for you. Can you always be sure that this is right? Yeah. Can you always do this? I mean, does it always have to lead to the right answer? No, of course not. It's just a first approach, not a bad one, really. But this has to be validated or negated afterwards. That's pretty important. After taking this first step, to go out and search for evidence that you might be right or false by comparing these two things to each other, right? So, he goes on and tells us about Graciosa. The small part of the island of Graciosa, which we traversed, resembles those promontories of lava seen near Naples between Portici and Torre del Greco. And here he does it again, right? And then we learn about the geomorphology of Graciosa. For those of you who are interested in physical geography, he says, the basalts of Graciosa are not in columns, but are divided into strata 10 or 15 inches thick. These strata are inclined at an angle of 80 degrees to the northwest. The compact basalt alternates with the strata of porous basalt and marl. The rock does not contain hornblende, but great crystals of foliated olivine, which have a triple cleavage. Okay. So that's really interesting, because he's covering all the different topics about settlement geography, about physical geography, and so on, all by describing it in his travelogue, right? So in the end, he states, we re-embarked at sunset and hoisted sail, but the breeze was too feeble to permit us to continue our course to Tenerife. The sea was calm. A reddish vapor covered the horizon and seemed to magnify every object. In this solitude, amidst so many uninhabited islets, we enjoyed for a long time the view of rugged and wild scenery. This episode's announcements for conference, because we already had announcements for posters and flyer, deal with the topic of migration. Well, okay. So if you are interested in migration and happen to be in Berlin in early December, perhaps you should join this year's annual conference titled Third International Conference Rethinking Migration, Diversity in Societies of Immigration, a Model Put to the Test. And this is taking place in the Mendelssohn-Remise Jägerstraße 51, Jäger Street 51 in Berlin, from December 8th to 9th, 2011. I put you the link to the PDF call for papers into the show notes that you can have a look at it. I think it's not too expensive. And from what I could see, it's definitely a conference held in English at least for the first 1.5 days. It might be that the last half day is taking place in German, but never mind. Yeah, this would be it. So if you are interested, go to this Rethinking Migration Conference, December 8th and 9th in Berlin. Yeah, once again, we've reached the end of an episode of Geography Frontline. Let everyone who might be interested in the show know that Frontline exists. Put the word out, print some posters, print flyers, do whatever. And don't forget to send in your comments on this episode's topics. And you know what the final words of every episode are? The network is us.